Good morning, Maranatha. It is time for Sunday Morning Alive right here on our website. I am Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, and I'm so glad that you've joined us for this Sunday morning sermon. Not the entire service, but the sermon today, online sermon. If you're not able to be in church for whatever reason, by the way, I would encourage you to be in a church where you can be in fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. As the scripture tells us, forsake not the assembling of yourself together, as the manner of some is, but much more, as you see the day approaching, exhorting one another, encouraging one another, building up one another. This is something that cannot happen if you just listen to someone on the internet, on the radio, or on television. This is something that can only occur when we are interacting with the body of Christ, not just an organization or a denomination, but those who have been truly born again, born from above, saved by the washing of the Word of God and the washing of the blood of Jesus Christ today. Well, we're glad that you have joined us, though, today. But if you're not in church, make every effort to get in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, and preaching without compromise church. May be hard to find. It's worth a drive, amen, to get there. I'll guarantee you that. Don't just go for the programs. Programs have a place. They cannot replace the Word of God and the Word of truth. Amen. The scripture says in John 8:30-31, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If you continue in my word, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Jesus loved the church, the scripture declares, and cleansed it by the washing of water by the word. And I could go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. So I'm a Word of God preacher, and we want to just fill our teachings and our sermons with the Word of God, because I just can't help say this on the onset. If the Word of God is seed, falls on a good ground heart, it will bring forth fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. Amen. Praise God. Listen, God is moving by His Spirit, and by the Holy Spirit, we are being spoken to by and through the Word of God today. So if you have your Bibles, would you open them to, let's go back and let's start in the Old Covenant, Proverbs 28 and verse 1. Proverbs 28 and verse 1. Then we're going to the New Covenant, New Testament, to James chapter 2 and verse 19. Let's begin with Proverbs 28:1 on the subject today, trembling enemies and triumphant saints. Trembling enemies and triumphant saints. It's about time that we get a good look at the backside of the devil. I don't mean his rump. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this fallen angel and the hierarchy of demon powers that have fallen with him. These angels that fell, that became, some of them certainly have become demons, because God didn't make them and the devil can't create them. He can't create anything. It's time we saw the devil running in fear from the saints of God instead of the saints of God running in fear from the devil. All I hear my entire Christian life, not just my preaching life, my Christian life, I hear it over and over. I would have done this. I was going to do that. I had the victory, but the devil came against me. Satan came against us. Of course he comes against us. He's relentless. He will never stop attacking. But the question is, are we going to put on God's armor, stand our ground, and see the victory that Christ has given us, that God has given us in and through Jesus Christ by the power and person of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Trembling enemies and triumphant saints. Here we have it. This subject matter, this is my starting point today. Proverbs 28 and verse 1. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. I want to read that again. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Now let's go over to James chapter 2 and verse 19. It says, "Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." This word in the Greek, tremble, is a word that means to bristle or chill, to shudder. It's only used once, and on this occasion, it is the most powerful word used to describe fear. The Amplified really amplifies it. It brings it out. So demons believe and shudder in terror and horror, such as make a man's hair stand on end and contract the surface of his skin. Listen, when David slayed Goliath, the Philistine army ran in panic. And that's what this word means. The actual connotation of running in panic is found in another scripture in the New Covenant where it says, "Submit yourself unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." The word flee, once again, means to run as in panic. I want to make a statement here. There are two potentially fatal mistakes that we can make in assessing an adversary, and our adversary in particular, the devil. One is to underestimate his cunning and his commitment to deceive and destroy. The other is to overestimate his power and live an entire lifetime in fear and trembling, always terrified of what he might accomplish against us and do against us. This debilitating fear must be counteracted and conquered. And believe me, anything, where it be angels that are true angels of light or evil and wicked fallen angels, anything in the spirit realm is fearful. Look at what it says in Job 4:12 through 15. It says, "Now a thing was brought to me, and mine ear received a little thereof. In thoughts from the visions of the night, when deep sleep falleth on men, fear came upon me, and trembling, which made all my bones to shake. Then a spirit passed before my face, and the hair of my flesh stood up." Listen, when God visited Eliphaz, he was sore afraid. When God visited, when the angel, amen, visited Daniel, it said he fell as a dead man, and the angel took him by the belt and lifted him up in the book of Daniel, we are told. And when he lifted him up, it said his knees were shaking so bad, his knees smote against one another. Our enemy knows how terrifying it is to have God stand up against him. And I want to say something about that right now. Our victory is in the one who is in us. I want to say that again loud and clear. Our victory is in the one who is in us. For the scripture declares in 1 John, "Greater is he that is in you and me as Christians than he that is in the world." Our victory is in the one who is in us. Make no mistake about it. The greater one is living in you and living in me by the Holy Spirit. Jesus is come to abide within us. God has come to abide within us. And the devil fears Jesus Christ in us. Not only the hope of glory, but the help against this array of forces that are influencing the entire fallen world that we live in. Listen, the devil fears Jesus Christ. He fears His name because he knows Jesus has defeated him at the cross, at the tomb, and because Jesus has sat down and declared complete victory over him, and then he's come to live in us to grant that victory to us. Listen to Genesis 3, and let's refresh our memory of how the prophecy fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Genesis 3:14-15. It says, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Jesus Christ's incarnation, his death, and his resurrection has brought us this victory. On the cross, Jesus' heel was bruised, but also on the cross, Satan's head was bruised. Amen. Listen. The Amplified said, "He will bruise and tread your head underfoot." That's what it means when it says that in the name of Jesus, as we go to proclaim the gospel, amen, that we will tread on serpents. Because the victory that Jesus got, He brought to us, and He came to abide in us. Our victory is in the One who is in us, and greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Listen to Hebrews 2:14. "For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil." It doesn't mean he doesn't exist. It means that he doesn't have power and authority over those who have come to trust Christ. Because when we trust Christ as our Savior, repented of our sin, Jesus comes to live within us. Our body becomes the temple of the Lord. The Holy Spirit comes to abide within us. God comes to live within us. Hence, he that is in us is greater. This word destroy means bring to naught in the Greek, to make of no effect. Satan has been neutralized over the believer. If we don't give place to him, as the Scripture tells us, we have the absolute authority to choose not to compromise the faith, not to keep giving in to sin and open the door for him. If we don't give place to him, he has no authority to come against us and prevail over us. If we don't give place to fear, if we stand strong in our faith in the One who is in us. Let me say it again. Our victory is in the One who is in us. Christ in you, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Yes, indeed, the down payment on heaven. But also Christ in us, the assurance of victory over the enemy and all of his forces. Hallelujah. When someone describes the terrifying experience that so affects them that they have a physical reaction to it, they commonly lose terms like, "I shuddered with fear. I was shaking all over. My hair stood up on end." Or they had it was a hair-raising experience. This is the effect of the contemplation of our God and our Sovereign and Savior Jesus Christ on Satan and his demons. There's a verse of a popular Christian song that is biblically and spiritually accurate, and it is declaring, "Demons tremble at the sound of his name." The highly exalted one, before whom every knee will bow, the holder of all power in heaven and earth, amen, his destroyer and our deliverer, Jesus Christ, glory be to God. In Jesus' name we exhibit and exercise his victory. Mark 16:17 says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents," which means we will deal effectively with demon forces. Amen. "And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." Praise God. This is actually turning the tables on the devil. No wonder demons tremble at the mention of his name. Amen. Colossians 2:12-15. "Buried with him." See, this is our identity with Christ and his identity with us. "Buried with him in baptism." Colossians 2:12. Let's read it together. "Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened," or given that very life that Jesus exhibited when he rose from the dead, you see. "Having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." Hallelujah. This word "spoiled" means disarmed and stripped away. The Amplified is really good. It says God disarmed the principalities and powers ranged against us and made us bold, made a bold public display and example over them, triumphing over them in him and in the cross. That's how we triumph over them. It's in him and in the cross. Praise God. The Bible said they overcame him, the accuser of the brethren, by the blood of the Lamb that was shed at that cross, and the word of their testimony and their devotion to him. They loved not their life even unto the death. A.W. Tozer said of the scripture, Colossians 1:27, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." He said, "I'm not afraid of the devil. The devil can handle me. He's got judo that I never heard of. But he can't handle the one I'm joined to." I want to say that again. He can't handle the one I'm joined to. He can't handle the one to whom I am united. He can't handle the one whose nature dwells in my nature. Martin Luther knew this lesson well, and he wrote about it in his great hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." Listen to this verse, "And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fail him." One little word shall fail him. Can you surmise what he meant by one little word? Actually, it is a name. It is the name Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, we will tread on serpents. In the name of Jesus, we are enabled and authorized to cast out devils. In the name of Jesus, we lay hands on the sick that they might recover. It's in that authority of His name, praise God. Satan greatly fears and opposes, therefore, the proclaiming of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For when men receive it, he loses them, because the gates of hell cannot prevail. 2 Chronicles 4:3-4 said, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the..." This is what he fears that can and will occur when the gospel is preached. "Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." He keeps that mind blinded. The Greek word is tefluo. It means to obscure as with smoke, but it also means to puff up with pride. Keep them so proud, self-willed, self-sufficient, that they don't see their need to humble themselves, confess their sin, and run to Jesus for salvation. Listen to what 1 Corinthians 1 says about the gospel. It says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." One translation says, "the manifestation of the power of God." Amen. Paul knew that the gospel would release God's delivering power into the lives of men and women held in captive by the devil, blinded by them, and bound by them. He was so committed to plunder hell and populate heaven that he kept on proclaiming the gospel in order to accomplish it. Listen to Romans 1:15-16. "So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." The Amplified says it well: salvation for deliverance from eternal death. That's why the devil fears the gospel. He knows the power of it. He knows the purpose of it. He knows, as you hear the good news today, if you're not a Christian, that if you give heed, the scales will literally fall off of your eyes as the Holy Spirit works on the other end of this message in your heart, in your life, and ultimately in your head, so that your mind is no longer blinded, and you can make the choice when you see the glorious offer of God to forgive you, deliver you, pardon you, save you, seal you with the Holy Spirit, and keep you safe from the wrath to come. You won't run from Jesus anymore. Deeper into the darkness, you'll see it for what it is, and you'll run to Jesus for the salvation and saving power that He offers you. Praise God. I'm going to tell you right now, we need to get a look at the backside of our enemy, running in fear from us instead of always coming in such intimidating force against us. Listen, friend, our victory is in the One who is in us, because greater is He that is in you, and greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Praise God. Hallelujah. I love what happens when people pray in the midst of battles that look like they can't be won, when the enemy comes in such an overwhelming way. But when we pray, listen, God's response is that He takes up the fight. He literally takes up the battle. And when God takes up the battle is no longer ours. The battle becomes the Lord's. Hallelujah. Praise God. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 4, and you could read it on down. Let me just read it. We'll take the time. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem and in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord our Father, art thou not God in heaven? Rulest thou not over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art thou not our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary in it for thy name, saying, If evil come upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. The devil fears when he sees us praying these kind of faith-emboldened prayers. Hallelujah. Say it in this listening. Faith-emboldened prayers. We need to be those bold lions instead of these timid little mice running from the enemy. Oh, friend of mine, what was God's response to this? In verse 15, it said, a prophet stood up and prophesied. And this is what he said. Actually, they went on to say, you know, we don't have any might in ourselves. We don't need it. Our victory's not in us. It's in you. Hallelujah. A prophet stood up and said, Hearken, ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, the battle is the Lord's. Hallelujah. I like the paraphrase. It says, Don't be afraid. Don't be paralyzed by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Prayer places God between us and our adversary and our enemy. David knew it. He said in Psalm 56 and verse 9, When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, God is for me. That's the reason for this kind of bold prayer life. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, 1 Peter 2:9 says this about you and me as believers today, as Christians today. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people. One translation says, a people belonging to God. The Amplified said, God's own purchased special people. That's what makes us peculiar. We are God's own special people, purchased by the precious blood of Jesus. And as a result of God's gracious provision, we enjoy the special privileges that result from this great salvation. We are the redeemed. And the Old Covenant says this, Let the redeemed say so. And it's time that our testimony is that we are not just flesh and blood dealing with spiritual forces and powers beyond our capability of overcoming. We are flesh and blood, but the mighty one of Israel, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Jesus Christ, has come to live within us, and he that is in us is greater than he that is in this world. Praise God. I feel victory here today. I feel victory for this audience that is listening here today. We're getting an insight into who we are in Jesus. And it's time that we saw the enemy trembling because of the triumph that is ours in Jesus Christ today. Hallelujah. Our victory, dear friend, is in the one who is in us. Jesus Christ in you. Jesus Christ in me. The hope of glory and the help against the enemy. Hallelujah. Well, I hope you got something out of this broadcast. We have much more to say, but our time is gone. Today, as a Christian, I urge you to take the armor that has been provided, and having done all, stand. Stand your ground. Give no place to the devil. If we stand our ground in faith in the one who is in us and who is for us, then the enemy cannot prevail against us. There's victory in Jesus today. And there's victory for you and there's victory for me. Stand tall, not in pride, self-sufficiency, but in bold faith. In the presence of God, the person of Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit that's living in you and living in me today. Hallelujah. Let's look out and see the enemy trembling. And let's stand with the triumphant saints and declare victory and take ground for God, further the kingdom. And give up no ground to the devil in the name of Jesus Christ. Today, if you don't know Jesus, Satan wants your soul. He's trying to blind your mind to the glory of the gospel, to the glorious truth that you can be forgiven. Your sins can be pardoned. You can be delivered from the prison of darkness, drugs, no matter what it is that binds you, it is the enemy that blinds you. There's a key to get out of that prison, and I believe a light is shining brightly on it. The key is a person. His name is Jesus. He came to set the captive free. Run to him, repent of your sins, and go free. In Jesus' name.